Guru Nation, welcome to episode 810 of Random Musings from the Clinical Trials Guru. In this episode, I interview in the wild, fresh off of his interim monitoring visit at my site, one of my CRAs, Kevin Matias. He's one of my better CRAs we've ever had here at Yuma Clinical Trials. I think most of the staff would agree. And he's also like a tough CRA. He's not like an easy one that just lets things by, but he's also a good one where he gets buy-in from the staff and coordinators. And he's actually been a coordinator before. So we get into his career, his story, his journey, what it's like being a monitor right now, what makes a good one. Hopefully, you find something of value here for the experienced and the newer people to research alike. Link to his LinkedIn is underneath the show notes. Really quick, wanted to give a shout out to our sponsors, Inato. Inato is a portal that is absolutely free that you can get studies on. And I've recently received studies. I've also been rejected on studies. Like, it's not an easy thing necessarily. I don't want to be misleading. They do want people and investigators with therapeutic area expertise. They want, like, sites to check all the boxes for the sponsors, but it doesn't hurt to try to get studies on there because even when you get rejected a few times, they'll tell you why and you know how to improve yourself for next time you apply. And ultimately, it does get easier. So check it out. It is absolutely free. They don't get involved in the contracts or budgets or anything like that. I think it's a must to be on there several times a week, depending on the size of your site. Check it out. Link in the show notes. Also, shout out to Creo, the brain of my operations at Yuma Clinical Trials. It has eSource, it has eReg, it has CTMS, it has automated invoicing, it has one-click invoicing, it has a patient database, it has automatic importing of leads from certain other vendors you may be using for recruitment. I mean, there's so much going on at Creo. I'm only scratching the surface. You only pay for what you use. So let's say you don't want to use e-consent, but you want to use the other things. Well, you don't get charged free consent on certain studies. And you have complete flexibility, even what studies you choose, what options for. Amazing product, amazing flexibility. Very site-centric. Check it out. Link in the show notes as well. Now let's get to this episode. Hopefully you enjoy it with Kevin. The world's greatest monitor, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Matias. Am I pronouncing your last name right?
Matias.
Matias.
Yeah.
I either go with that or Matias. I never know which one's.
I mean, it's more or less the same because like I have, it's Kevin Matias and a lot of people think, especially in the Spanish community, Matias is also a first name. So it's like Kevin Matthew or something like that.
Okay.
So yeah.
You're a senior CRA at one of the big CROs. You've been a former coordinator. So you're like one of the good CRAs that, like our staff, we can always tell who was a CRA that was a CRC and who wasn't. And it's almost like always, my staff don't even have LinkedIn, but they can kind of guess. Mm-hmm. And then when I confirm, like I'll ask like, hey, you've been a CRC before? They're almost always right. And I think there's something there with empathy and understanding like what the coordinators are going through. To me, it's like obvious, but you were a CRC. Prior to that, you were an EMT, so or a paramedic. And you also worked at a biotech or a smaller company?
Yeah.
Like a smaller pharma or?
No, so that one, it's more or less like a site. It's just an independent site. Okay. Yeah.
Has a very like biotech-y name.
It does. They've gone through like three name changes.
Okay.
So yeah.
Now you're San Diego local. Yep. And you're one of our monitors. Yep. And let me just preface this. So Kevin, his LinkedIn is underneath. A lot of monitors, when you call them, first of all, like getting them to answer is like a huge victory. Kevin answers almost always right away. And if he doesn't, he'll call you back. Second of all, when those monitors do answer the phone, you ask them a question. And usually the coordinators are calling and asking you like not an easy thing. They're usually asking you something like if they're confused, it means it's not simple.
a lot of the CRAs, they say, well, let me get back to you. That's actually a good question. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, we're given that a lot.
I've used those before, though.
But it's rare. Mm-hmm. You usually have an answer or you have like advice. Because also another thing is like when a coordinator is calling a CRA and asking like that level of question, it's usually urgent. Like they have a patient right there. Like it's time dependent. Mm-hmm. But you've always done a good job at that, man. So
thank you
for that.
Appreciate it.
Our staff loves you for that. What's been your experiences with our site so far?
A lot of ups, a lot of downs. But you guys are definitely getting better. You guys did start off a little rocky, but because we talked it out, I've had a lot of impromptu meetings with you, quite a few of your coordinators, and we're definitely on the come up.
We turned the corner.
Yeah.
And we're doing good enrollment wise too, mm-hmm. That's like our saving grace. And we're really working on getting like a good quality system in place. So I'm glad to hear that. And thank you for your help too.
That's my job.
Are you coming to ACRP?
I'm going to try.
Okay.
I know you told me it's like May 4th.
May the 4th be with you. And Daniel won't be there, but his crew will be there. and anyone that wants to come out, be on the podcast, be on the vlog, let me know. So how does one become a senior CRA? You started out, like I said, paramedic. Coordinator, or you actually went coordinator first, research intern, then paramedic.
Yep. And then research. Assistant to coordinator.
Yeah.
And then a coordinator again.
And then a coordinator again. And now a CRA. So you were a CRA 1 for a year. Then you were a CRA 2 for another year.
Yep.
And now you're a senior CRA.
Yep.
In a short period of time.
I do good at my job.
Is that easy?
There have been more responsibilities as I've grown in my role. At least for my, we call them FSPs.
Functional service provider?
Service providers. Yeah. I don't know. I just clicked. I was able to grasp the role really quickly. Then I was able to mature and just become a good CRA. So for at least how I outlined the CRA role. So CRA 1, you're getting the role, you're getting the gist of the job. CRA 2, you know what to do as a CRA now, but what else can you do? And then senior CRA. So now along with the role of CRA can be like, well, I also mentor. I also
you mentor other CRAs?
Yes.
What's and that like?
It's good. I find it like a good break from just doing my regular CRA roles.
You get do all these in job title promotions come with a pay raise, do you?
Yep.
Significant? Or enough?
Enough. Yeah.
What when you mentor CRAs, because I didn't know you actually do that. When you mentor CRAs, like I imagine it's usually a CRA 1 that you're mentoring, like junior CRAs.
Yeah.
What's like the biggest thing that you know they can improve, like the most common?
Well, so when I mentor like some of my fresh CRAs, the main thing I try to get out of their mind is that study coordinator state of mind, because when you're a study coordinator, you are
because a lot locked of them into, come from study coordinator, right?
Yes. A lot of them are locked into how would you say it? Like they see the study as patients coming in and out. And then when you move into the CRA role, you need to take more of a oversight look. Like, okay, so these patients are coming in for their visits. But in terms of the study, in terms of the protocol, okay, so are we meeting like these enrollment goals now? Are we looking at it from like a bigger point of view? So like, okay, we have like, say if we have a enrollment deadlines and all those extra stuff
that like come, database lock,
database like locks that. As well. Yes.
So you're taking a more holistic view, and it's tough for a coordinator. Do you think it's like a smooth transition from coordinator to CRA, or do you see that that's sometimes tougher than people think?
No. If you understand and are pretty good at being a coordinator, then I think you'd be pretty good and actually excel in the CRA role. As long as you're organized, as long as you're on top of everything, mm-hmm. as long as you understand deadlines, understand that some things, sometimes you're just going to have to like wait. Because one of the big things for me transitioning to the CRA role is that I can't be the one going in and doing data entry. I can't right. be the one like pushing along like, hey, Dr. So-and-so, this patient had elevated AST, ALTs, which would qualify for like a DILI event. Mm-hmm. I can't be the one like moving the study along.
Yeah, you're dependent on
the workflow of the coordinators.
Yeah, as a CRA, your role is more to, number one, catch it.
Yes.
Catch compliance, but also to encourage or incentivize behavior
yes.
from the site. Mm-hmm. And you've actually done that already with us, I think, relatively successful. I mean, in the beginning, I think so, because in the beginning, we were taking longer on entering data and answering queries. Mm-hmm. And once you had that talk with all of us, we actually took it seriously, and I don't think we had a problem since. At least I hope not.
And even if I see like, oh, hey, it's been like a week since, I'll send you like a reminder email.
Yeah,
It doesn't take like 50 minutes to send a reminder email.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
When you go now as a senior CRA, when you go, you probably deal with a lot of sites, and throughout your career, you know, you've been CRAing for over 3 years. You've gone to many sites now. Mm-hmm. Are there telltale signs like right away, this can be a good site, this can be a bad site? And can you tell us what those are?
Responsiveness, hands down responsiveness.
So even before you go to the site, just how quickly you reply to an email mm-hmm. maybe?
No, for sure. Hands down responsiveness. Like if I can talk to the PI, if I can talk to the study coordinator and they respond to me within the day, I don't have to follow up with them like, hey, just following up.
Is that rare?
I'd say maybe like 30% of my sites.
30% of your sites respond?
Are really quick to respond.
So 70% are not?
I would have to follow up with like 70, maybe 60% of my sites. Yeah.
Is this common for most CRAs? I've never actually asked a CRA this.
No. So.
Is it really 70, 30? Wow.
At least for me.
Wow.
Yeah. I know a couple of my mentees, they're like, hey, Kevin, I've been following with my site for like 2 months and they only reply to me like once every 2 weeks. And even if that, I'm like,
wow. Really?
Come on now.
Now, what about when you go on site? What are some signs that, hey, this is a good site, this is maybe not such a good site, like from your first IMV? Or do you do site selection visits?
No, I don't do site selection. Okay. I do SQVs and up.
Okay, so when you go do like a interim monitoring visit, what are some immediate things that you look at that maybe sites watching can take away from this and say, you know what, like Kevin just said that, hey guys, we need to go fix like what we're doing.
No, when I come on site and just the availability of the study coordinators, because I know, I guess it's kind of intuitive, where if you're on site and then the study coordinator is only able to give you like, what? Hey, I'm just checking in. Is there anything I need to like correct? Like, no. Or maybe I say, I have found like these problems, X, Y, and Z, but then they're just too busy too busy to like address them. Mm. I've had some times where I was like, hey, yeah, I have patients or I've found or issues X, Y, and Z. And then like, oh, well, I'll take care of it later. Just send me an email or whatever. Like, okay, cool. And then I wouldn't hear till them for maybe like till lunch. Like, hey, I'm going out on lunch. I'll check with you toward the end of the day. And then toward the end of the day, hey, I'm going home now. I'm like, Don't you want to talk about all the things I found or how to resolve them or whatnot? And then, yeah.
So it's pretty clear from you, like even the first IMV, which sites are going to be good, which one's not so good. What do you think is the cause for that? Do you think those coordinators are overworked or?
No, definitely. Like I said, so if they're only able to like dedicate maybe like 15 minutes total out of the day, wow, just to even like talk to me
for a monitoring visit.
Yeah. So I'm like, so let me tell, or let me ask you about how is work? Is there like any sort of backlog on things, or are there any people who are just not pulling their weight, or what is your workload? Like, do you have like 7 studies that you have to dedicate like X amount of hours per week? So it's all about me understanding when I was a coordinator, what's happening there. Cause I remember when I was working at the university, so like some people like, oh yeah, I have 4 studies. Like, okay, Janice, can you tell me about your studies? I have this people, this people, this people, this people. And then when it came to my turn, like, okay, I have this study. I'm bringing in this people. I have this study. They're going for a closeout visit. I have this visit. A monitor's coming in next week. I have to prep the ISF. I have to answer all the queries. So it's definitely their workload and everything else that goes on at the site as well.
So it's the CRC, for the most part, in your opinion and experience, it's the CRC workload.
Yes.
And that's across the board, whether it's a private site like ours or an academic medical center. Mm-hmm. Is it rare that it's just like CRC laziness? Do you find that that's not really that common?
I feel like a lot of CRCs, they honestly want to do a good job. Mm-hmm. So at least for all the CRCs that I've met so far, it hasn't come down to lack of effort.
Okay.
It's just them being stretched too thin.
Stretched too thin. So then the responsibility in that case logically would lie with the management, site director. One of the things I've done here is I've made sure we're not short-staffed. And like in a place like Yuma, it's hard to – you can't find trained coordinators. You have to train them yourself. Mm-hmm. So Thursday, I mean, we're interviewing – my wife blocked out half of my calendar. We're interviewing an admin, somebody – because I noticed the coordinators now, they're behind on following up with patient leads because of all the work you and other monitors are giving them, or just like regular visits. Mm-hmm. So no one's really following up with the leads how I want. So we've got to start interviewing for admin. Mm-hmm. So I'm always being proactive, like, hey, let me make sure we're not losing like workforce. And because if you overwork someone, they're just going to quit, go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And also make sure you're keeping the monitors happy. Do you find that sites do better as like a kind of like we have like a group? We have like, what, 4 coordinators working on this study? So even if like one of them is busy on your IMV, somebody's going to be able to get to you, right? Mm-hmm. Is that like a common thing, or is it not so common at sites?
Even though on like the DOA log, you'd see like, oh, backup study coordinator. I don't feel, or at least for you guys have done great. Whenever I need to talk to Katie, or if Katie's out of office, Lana or Gressy or Luis or Jaime or even you.
Yeah.
Someone will reply to me and whatnot, but I don't feel like that's a regular thing.
I see.
Even though someone may be delegated as a backup coordinator or something like that, it all does fall into the hands of my main point of contact, the primary study coordinator.
That sucks, because that's where the bottleneck really comes. It's like, you're down to one person. And what happens when that person is gone?
Yep.
You know, like Katie right now on vacation. Like today she's not here, but we were able to have people meet with you and also do regular other visits and not really skip a beat. So I think more sites should do that. But I think a lot of sites are just like most businesses, small businesses, they're short-sighted. Mm-hmm. So they look for, well, but that's going to cut for my profits. Instead of thinking, well, you can get more studies now that you're training more people. You know, you need to have like a farm system in place, just like baseball teams do, to have like who's next up. Mm-hmm. Like, and you're not going to keep all your staff. Like, as well as we treat them, you know, greener pastures come calling a lot. Like, it's not even other sites. It's like universities, hey, relocate here to Phoenix and or to Tucson, and here, let's double your salary. Like, it's really hard to compete with that. So our defense and offense really is bring on more talent, like find the diamonds in the rough. Yeah, we might interview all eight people on Thursday, and not one of them I would be confident in. We got to do it again. Or we find one. Okay, now it's time to train them. Just like we did it with Luis. He's our most recent one. Took him on a 3-month, 4-month journey. And look at him now. Like, he's fully functioning CRC. Minus a few mistakes here and there, but everyone does that. So I guess, what advice do you have for sites that are watching to make life easier for monitors like you and to not get on CRO blacklist? Is there such a thing as a CRO blacklist for a site?
I don't believe so.
No? At least, sponsor blacklist?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
But
like, would you, do you get asked like, hey, do you recommend the site? Or
we do. Okay. Part of our closeout visits, one of the questions like, would you recommend this trial or this site for a future trial? And like, at least for me, I try to be like, I would, but they need to fix these laundry list of things first. So as long as the sites or whoever can like, fix, say if it was like a data entry problem or a query resolution problem, or if it was like a PI oversight problem, if, they can address these things, then yeah, if they can get better, everyone deserves some redemption or whatnot. So if they can fix it, I don't see why not, you know?
What do you think the advice is for sites to develop smooth relationship with their CREs?
Communication.
Number one, by far. There's not even a close number two.
No, not at all.
And what do you mean by communication? Like, if we could break that down to first principles, what do you think that would mean?
At least for me, like, your site's a great example.
Well, thank you. We only paid Kevin a little bit for this.
He's just saying that, guys. Whenever you guys have a question, call me, email me.
Oh, we do do that a lot.
You guys do do that a lot. If I don't have the answer, then I'll escalate it to the study team and so on and so forth.
90% of the time you do, though.
But no communication. Cause
so even if it's over communication,
I feel like that's okay.
Yeah.
I know some CRAs would disagree.
Do you ever feel like, man, the site's calling again? Like, can't they figure it out? honest, man.
Yeah, sometimes. No, for real, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, sometimes, study coordinators do resort to the CRA first rather than like trying to interpret the protocol or trying to interpret the, or at least raising it to the PI first. Cause a lot of
the stuff. So they like treat you like the AI.
Yeah, like
you're like the chatbot for like the help desk for the protocol.
Yeah, but
that kind of sucks. I was a CRA too, and I experienced that. I mean, I wasn't as long. Well, yeah, I was a CRA for 3 years, but it was part time. It was a contract gig for oncology. But I did get that. Yeah, come to think of it,
how many times does the patient come in for their scheduled visits? I would just like do a snippet of like the schedule of events, like this many times.
Yeah.
So
you shouldn't have to ask your CRA like simple things.
Yeah. But
I feel like the newer the sites, the more they are going to do that because they're less sure of themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we do that bad, but one of our sub eyes is like, he's a new site owner, 3 years. Shout out to Jaime. But he's always like, and he's like one of the most conservative people I know. He's in every aspect of life, he's like triple checking everything. So even if he knows, like, we've discussed patients before, him and I, and I'm like, yeah, I think they qualify. And he's like, yeah, I do too, but I'm just going to run it by Kevin. It's just like
I've had those calls with him too.
It's just like an extra safety layer, I think, for him. And for many like him. But do you see that as the norm, or like
that is not the norm.
That's not the norm.
It is not the norm.
Okay.
I feel like some of my, at least past sites, they would just do their own thing. And then like when I come on site, when I do a remote monitoring visit, I'm like, why did you do that? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And then I'd rather be notified about it as it's happening versus like 3 months down the line. I'm like, oh, there's a PD here. There's a PD there.
Yeah, yeah.
Why didn't you report this SAE? Was this reported to the IRB? Yeah. So, say if something happened, a patient had an SAE, like, okay, make sure you report it, or make sure you report it to the sponsor. Make sure you report it to the IRB.
Right away.
Document everything, yeah, of course, and just keep following up with the patient. Make sure that they're okay, because in clinical research, one of our main roles is patient safety, you know?
Yep. For all sides. Mm-hmm. You as the CRA, you're like the last line of defense between not only the site and the FDA, but patient safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many patients, like, there's some sites out there, they don't really know what they're doing, and they're inappropriately randomizing people.
Mm-hmm.
And if the CRA is asleep at the wheel, everyone's missing it.
Oh,
and like that becomes huge safety.
Huge concerns. Safety. Say if you missed like an exclusion criteria where they're on some exclusionary meds.
Yeah.
And then 2 months down the line when you're monitoring visits there, like, this patient's been on this medication, yep, which was contraindicated clearly in the protocol. So that's just like a big thing, you know? So again, for me, I don't mind the over-communication because it helps me stay on top of the game.
You'd rather have that than under.
Exactly.
I understand. But some CRAs would disagree with you.
Yeah.
Maybe you're at the sweet spot where you're like experienced enough, because you've only been CRA for 3 years, right?
Yeah.
So maybe what, after like 10 years, do you think there's like a CRA is a long-term career, or do you, I know we were talking about it at lunch, but like a lot of CRAs ask me my opinion. Hey, I've been doing this 10 years, you know, mm-hmm, what's next? What mm-hmm are next options for me? And I say, like, it could be anything. Like, if you have a MD from another country, you could be a medical monitor.
Mm-hmm.
If you could be a protocol writer, you could be a data, what's it called? Pharmacovigilance, mm-hmm, data manager. I mean, you can mm-hmm do whatever you want, CTM.
Yeah.
And we were talking at lunch. That's mm-hmm kind of one of the things you like about this career.
There's a lot of growth in this career.
Even now in, like, a weak job market?
Yeah. No, for sure. Just stick it out. If you're being a CRA, when I got into a CRA role, my monitor at the time, they told me, just be persistent. You may not get the first interview. You may not get the first application, but just stick it out, keep applying, and it'll come sooner or later. And same thing now, even with a weak job market, if you do see something, keep applying. You may get rejected. It's totally fine. That's how life is.
That's the norm.
That's life.
The yeah norm is to get rejected.
Yeah.
Even us with patient leads, like
mm-hmm
8 out of 10 of them are going to say, no, never mind. You know, mm-hmm, I'm not interested. I just impulsively clicked a
yeah
ad and I'm over it.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the norm.
Yeah. But now, just being persistent in your job search, if you do want to become, for me, trial manager or project manager eventually.
Trial manager or project manager.
If they want to pursue, if they do have a foreign medical degree, yeah, medical monitoring, so on and so forth.
A lot of opportunities.
There's a lot of opportunities.
What's your favorite part, I guess, of being a CRA? Do you ever miss like patient interactions, or do you prefer this?
As you mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, I used to be a EMT, and then I yep used to be a coordinator. And I used to like interact with patients a lot. And I am pretty much a social guy. I like to talk to people. I like to hear about their day and stuff about that. Being a CRA definitely took away from that a little bit. But we do, at least a bunch of CRAs on my team and my previous team, we just connected. Even though it's remotely, we became friends. And yeah, it's not as isolated as you may think, you know?
Right, right. Any advice? Let's wrap this up with advice for, let's get advice for career seekers. I want to be a CRA and they're sick of hearing my advice. What do you have to tell them?
Well, if they're fresh into the clinical research world, start off as a study coordinator, learn the ropes first. Try to, if your company has like some sort of foster program, like, oh, I want to learn what the project management side does. I want to learn about what the, if you're a research assistant, I want to learn what a study coordinator does. When I had my monitors come in, I was like, I want to know what you do.
When you were a coordinator?
Yeah, when I was a coordinator.
And they were happy to show you,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Do you get coordinators ask you this now as a CRE?
I do. So a lot of people, or not a lot of people.
Do like, you welcome that?
I welcome that.
Yeah. Interesting. And what about advice for sites that want to do better? You said a communication.
Yes.
Right? Let's say a site. Just the overall advice for sites. I don't want to box you into any particular topic. Just overall, from your experiences, advice for sites.
Read the protocol.
That's a short right there, Daniel.
Yeah.
That's like a 10-second short.
Read the protocol.
That one's going to go viral. Wow. Thank you for that.
Because, yeah. A lot of the answers are in the protocol.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. Then stop relying on the CRAs to be the AI for the study.
Yeah.
Do you think there will be an AI coming and they will kind of take over that role?
That would be a cool idea.
I've been telling people to do it.
If you scan like the protocol into like some sort of like AI system.
Learn language model and then have coordinators chat with it instead of bugging you about things.
Just be like, oh, so patient came in for the discontinuation visit. What's next?
Yeah.
And then they'll like pop up like,
boom, boom, boom.
This is what you do.
Yeah. That'd Are you awesome. Worried about that though as a CRA? That's replacing your job or no?
Oh, I won't be a CRA by then.
Should people that will be worried?
I don't think so. I think being a CRA is more of a collaborative thing. It's a, even though maybe when we get to that point, it'll cut down on the amount of questions that study coordinators give to the CRA. It still allows for the CRA to at least oversee the sites and still see like, oh, your patient had a this condition pop up. This patient had an AE. How are you guys handling it? It doesn't, there isn't like a disconnect between the oversight at that point, you know?
They'll just end up giving you guys more stuff to do anyways.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin. Well, thank you. Everybody go connect with Kevin. His LinkedIn's underneath. He maybe gave us like the best short of the year so far with that 10-second clip. So we'll get that into a short. It's going to go viral for sure. Thank you very much, Kevin. I appreciate it, man.
Thank
Have
you
a
for
safe
having
drive
me.
Back and, like, subscribe, comment, share, go connect with Kevin. Bye-bye.